Alan Yater is probably one of the few preachers that I know that has to look at the duty roster to see whether he's preaching or not. He was probably shocked to find out he's not preaching today. I have a few things that I'd like to share with you this day. A few things that I've been working on in my mind over the past year or so. And I'd like to encourage each one of you to come back out tonight, because I'm not going to get done this morning. And I have more that I'd like to share with you this evening. Especially if you're in the audience this morning and you're young in the faith. You're a newer child of God. We're concerned about you. We love you. And we put some things in place, and we'd like to share with you those things this evening. So I'd like for you to come back if you would. Turn with me, if you will, as we begin our lesson today in the book of Revelation, the third chapter. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 14, talking about the church at Laodicea. And we'd like to look at the situation that the church at Laodicea was in. What condition were they in? Let's see. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." This context is talking about the church at Laodicea. And their condition was they were lukewarm. We today need to look at the congregation that meets here in Lafayette. And what is our condition? As you sit and as you evaluate the church that meets at this place, what would you say? Are we cold? Are we hot? Are we lukewarm? But I want to take it a step further today. I want us to look at us as individuals. I want you to look at you and me to look at me. And I want us to do a little bit of evaluation this day. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Our Lord wants us to grow. And that's the question we're going to be thinking about the entire day today. Is our spiritual growth? Are we growing? Are we developing the way that we should be as children of God? I'm going to be using the word perfection quite a bit today. But I don't want us thinking about perfection as being sinless perfection, as we read about in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. But how do I want to look at the word perfection? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that ye come to naught." Talking about perfection here is talking about those that are full grown. Not only full grown, but turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God." Here we talk about being full age. So, when you hear me talking about perfection this morning, I'm talking about those that are spiritually mature, those that are of full age. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. Now, I want everybody to ask themselves this question, and I want you to put yourself on the graph. Here's what we're going to do. This dot represents us today. All right? Now, I want you to reflect back to the time that you obeyed the gospel. All right? So, we're going down memory lane now. We're going back to October 6th, 1966. Okay, kids, they had cars back then. Okay, now, put yourself somewhere on this graph. That's a period of time of about 47 years. Okay, where do you fit on the graph? You might be up here. Maybe you became a Christian 6 months ago. Put yourself on the graph there. Maybe it was a year ago. Maybe it was a year and a half ago. And then Jerry Spencer and some of you older folks, you may be clear down here. Okay, you may be 60, 70 years being a Christian, being a child of God. Now here's the question. Where are we spiritually? You know, if I had somebody come into my house and do some electrical work, and this guy came into my house and he says, I said, and I like to ask questions like this, "How long have you been doing this?" And this guy says, "I have been doing this for 47 years. What would be my expectation of this man? My expectation of this man that has been doing this for 47 years, he probably knows what he is doing. He has probably studied this and researched this and tried this. He is a man of experience." You get my point? Now, where am I? This person up here, if they come into my house and they have been doing electrical work for 6 months, I might want to stand there and watch them, right? Because they're a novice. As the scripture says, they're a babe. We're going to talk about those babes tonight. But I wouldn't have the same expectation of this person as I would this person. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to think about spiritually, where am I? As we read that passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 about growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, have I done that? How well have I done that? How well have I searched the Scriptures? How well do I understand the Scriptures? Am I spiritually where I need to be wherever you put yourself on this graph. Now, another point that I want to make, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it this morning, is the graph doesn't stop today. Okay? And this is something we want to look at tonight. If I'm not where I need to be, how do I get to where I need to be? Later on down the road, we're going to be going this direction. Okay? So I'm 60 years old, another 20, 25 years I have to live. My dad's 87. I may live that long. Where am I going to be when I'm 87 years old? What is it that I'm planning? I need not stop today. Just because I may have some experience, this electrician, he's always learning, isn't he? Things changing in the world, he needs to change along with that to be able to have the understanding. And that's what I need to do. I need to continue to study and to learn and to be able to resolve issues that are going to come our way. And who knows what's going to come our way in the next 20, 25 years. But I can't stop now. I need to continue on. But the question is, as I look at the graph, and everybody here can put themselves on the graph, where am I? Where do I need to be? And you know, every one of us, spiritually, is in a different spot. We all have different intellects. We all have different ways of doing things. Where do you fit on the graph? Well, let's get into the lesson. There was a reading just a little while ago from Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and have not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, God's word is our food. God's word, for those of us who have been in the church for a long period of time, should be eating the meat of God's word. The question is, are we? God's word is also milk. For those who are newer Christians, to feed them also. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when someone gets up and preaches a lesson that makes you uncomfortable? How do you feel? I'm going to tell you how I feel, and I'm going to tell you how those of us that hopefully are mature in the faith should feel. I like it when someone challenges me. When somebody cares enough to make me better, I like that. When the preacher stands up here and talks about giving, and maybe I sit there and I wrestle in my seat because maybe I'm not giving enough. I need that. Maybe when the preacher stands up there and talks about where am I spiritually, maybe I sit there and shake in my seat a little bit, but you know, I need that. And when we come into this house, isn't this what we need? We need preaching that is going to help stimulate us and motivate us and challenge us to get where I need to be. When that final day comes, I need to be where I need to be. I need to be ready. And I look at our good brother Ted. Ted didn't have a warning. It just came and he left us. But there's a man that preached about heaven, and I believe in my mind was ready. And the question is, Are we ready? Am I spiritually where I need to be as God looks down upon us? We need to be eating the mature, the perfect. Need to be eating the milk or the meat of God's word. The younger Christians need to be being fed that milk of the word. We're going to talk about that milk tonight. Okay? Point number two. In that same passage there in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about those that are mature that are going to have the ability to discern between good and evil. Young people, I want to tell you something. There is a right and there is a wrong. We're living in a society where people tell us, do what makes you feel good. We as children of God need to be able, as in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we need to be able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We do that by sitting down and studying God's Word and taking it and reading it and meditating upon it and applying it to our lives. That's how we do it. Here's something I want us to think about right now. How many times a day do I discern between what is right and what is wrong? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? How many times in a day we do that? You get up out of bed and you have your breakfast and you get in the car and you head down the right highway. What do? Do I drive the speed limit? Do I not? You know, sometimes we don't think about that. But what are we doing? We're practicing what we've been taught. Do I stop at the stop sign? Do I stop at the red light? By the way, I don't have to go to work anymore. That is such a nice thing. Retirement is better than what I ever dreamed. But stop and think. Had to rub it in, didn't I, Ian? You get it to the workforce. What do? You're discerning between right and wrong. The co-workers begin to squabble about this worker over here or the boss or whatever. What do? How do we deal with that? We go to school. What do with our friends and our neighbors and our teachers? And all day long, we're discerning between right and wrong. We're practicing what we have heard here, what we have read at home, what we've meditated, what we studied. We're putting it all into practice and into play. As we get mature, we'll be able to discern the right and the wrong, the good and evil. But you know, as a babe in Christ, sometimes that's pretty tough. Sometimes they scratch their heads and thinking, you know, they just don't totally comprehend and understand. And I want to say something right here about babes in Christ. We who are older need to have patience with them. We who are older need to realize that as they come into the body of Christ, they have come in with baggage, so to speak. They don't come in understanding and comprehending God's Word like we who have been in the church. I've been in the church all of my life. But they come into the body of Christ, they're not that way. They've been out in the world. They've been living the way that the world lives, so they're going to have to come in. And when they come in, we who are older and more mature and those that are going on to perfection need to have some understanding and need to have some patience towards them. Point number three. Toughy for me. The book of James, Gerald, which happens to be his favorite book. I believe I heard that a few times. As we go on to perfection or become full grown or mature, We need to learn how to control our tongues. James chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." There's not a person in the house this morning that has been able to control perfectly their tongue. We need to stop and think about the power of the tongue. We need to think about what all the tongue can do. It can dissolve friendships. It can start wars. Many terrible things the tongue can do. But as we go on to maturity, as we go on to perfection, we need to learn to control that. Point number 4. The mature person loves their enemies. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading there with verse 43 and just read a few verses. Ye have heard that it hath been said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." You know what? In life, there's going to be some folks that are going to do some very nasty things to us. In life, it's pretty rough out there in the real world. People are going through a lot of situations in their lives that just simply is not pretty. We have to remember, as we go on to maturity, as we go on to perfection, we are commanded to love our enemies. Those people that say things against us, those people that do things against us, that is our responsibility, to love them. But you know what? It's easy for me to love Norman. Yeah, it's easy, believe me. Because Norman loves me. That's easy. It's easy for me to love the people in this house. Because we love each other, we show that. Yes, there's times that we have our little skirmishes. But we love each other. We're easy to love. But as we go out into the world, it's not so easy. But as we go on to maturity, as we go on to perfection, this is a responsibility that we have, is to love each other. My last point. The perfect person realizes their imperfections. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 through 15. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the prize, towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Paul had his imperfections. As great as he was in spreading the gospel of Christ, he realized there's things in his life that just were not right. And as we this morning go on to perfection, as we go on to become mature spiritually, as we grow and develop spiritually, we'll realize that we have our imperfections. I may have misspoke this morning on some things. That happens sometimes. Sometimes I make mistakes. No matter how long I've been doing this, I have my imperfections. We all have our imperfections. I look at myself, and I'm not going to measure myself by you, but I'm going to measure myself by this standard right here. We're all different. We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. We all have different everything. I cannot use you as my standard. I have to use this as I go on to maturity. I need to look at God's Word and find out just what is it that God wants me to do. And how am I going to find that out? But sitting down, reading it, meditating it, studying it, and having some understanding of what He wants me to do. Now, let's close. Let's wrap it up. The church at Laodicea was happy, content. With what they had done, what they're going to do, they were very content. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. I want you to be hot, but they weren't. You and I as an individual, as a member of the body of Christ, what are we? Are we growing in grace as we read about in 2 Peter chapter 3? Are we developing mature and mature? Where are we on this graph? Where am I spiritually this morning? We have in this congregation a concern for everyone here, but especially right now for those that are young in the faith. And as I said a little while ago, we'd like to talk about that tonight. And maybe you put yourself in that same category. Maybe you realize, you know, I've been in the Lord's church for quite a while, but I just never seem to have put everything together. Tonight we're going to talk about how to build a foundation. We're going to talk about some things that we're trying to show some of the young people in the congregation on how to build a foundation. You know, our Christianity, I'm chasing rabbits right now, I can't help it. But I just really like to preach that lesson for tonight right now. I'm really in the mood. But I dare not do that. But our Christianity is just like putting a puzzle together. And I have a puzzle over in a class, and I show the class a puzzle. Our spirituality is like this puzzle. When you have a puzzle, where do you start? I start by putting the corners in. I find the corners, and then I find all the straight pieces, and I line up all the colors, and I try to get that border around on the outside. I try to get the foundation of the puzzle. And that's what we need to do spiritually. Before we take our young folks and plug them into a Revelation class or an Ezekiel class, we need to help them have a foundation. This is what we want to talk about tonight. That foundation. You've been a good audience this morning. I appreciate your attentiveness. We want now to extend an invitation. We do this at the end of each of our services. Should there be those in our audience this morning that have never become a Christian, You look at today and you haven't started that walk. Maybe you want to start that walk today. Maybe you want to become a New Testament Christian today. Be buried into the waters of baptism, have the sins of this life washed away, and begin walking today, as we read about in Acts 22, verse 16. Come saying, I do believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I want to turn away from the world. I want to make that great confession before men. And I want to be immersed in water. I want to have all the sins of this life washed away. I want to learn how to discern between good and evil. I want to live how God wants me to live. Do you want to do that? Or maybe you've done that and you've fallen back into the world. You haven't done what God wants you to do. Or maybe you're here this morning and you want the brethren to pray with you about some matter that's important to you and serious in your life right now. If you're subject to the call, won't you come as we stand and sing?